and how he places it within our hearts to hear his word and to continue daily to walk with him. And all he wants of us is just to keep that knee bowed in his presence, to be open and to hear his word. Praise his name. Let's commit this time before our Heavenly Father. We thank you for our meeting. We thank you that you desire to speak to us and teach us and guide us and lead us. Lord, we thank you for our fellowship with you and each other, that unity and oneness of the Spirit. So we commit this time into your hands in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. I'm calling this teaching today, "The Spirit Will Witness to Us." The Spirit will witness to us. And I want to start off with Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. It says, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." And then it goes on, "If you've got that witness, then you are heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. And if we suffer with him, we may also be glorified together." So verse 17 in many ways indicates to us, if we hear the Spirit, we bear witness to the Spirit, because the Spirit is going to reveal that we are heirs of Christ, joint heirs with him. And also we go through the sufferings in this life in which to be glorified. They are all the signs of bearing the witness. And this is why we're calling our teaching, "The Spirit Will Witness to Us." This witness is absolutely vital for us to continue in our walk as a Christian. There are many who profess Christ, but they don't really know of this witness of the Spirit. And it often will come out in the trials, the tests. We've already just read it to you there in verse 17. Because he says, "If indeed we suffer with him, we may be also glorified together." So that is a witness to us. We understand what our trials are. "For we must go through much trial and tribulation of which to enter into the kingdom of heaven," Acts 16 tells us. And so it is part of this witness. So because it is a witness, it doesn't take us by surprise. It doesn't throw us off our walk with God. As hard as the trial may be, we are aware with our entering into the kingdom of God and being glorified with him together, we go through the trials and the testings. As I've said many, many times, our faith is like a muscle, and muscles have to be used. And the finest way of our faith enduring and developing is through the trials of our faith. That's why they're called the trials of our faith. And we have that witness. We have that confirmation by the Holy Spirit, that God is in this. And many times our trials can take all forms of shapes and designs. And whatever they may be, and as strange as they may be, we know that it is designed for the purpose for my faith. For my faith to endure and to remain faithful to this walk that is set before me. You see, God isn't going to allow the Holy Spirit, his Spirit, in you to witness against his word or will. And many times, the trials and tests that we go through, we think this isn't the will of God. It can't be. I can't see this in the Word of God because, you know, I'm going through what I'm going through. It is, because we know that our walk is prepared by God. He goes before and prepares the way. And we also know from Scripture that we're not on our own when we go through the trials and tribulations. He's with us as well. That's why he intercedes for us, that our faith will not fail, that we will remain faithful, that we will keep our eyes on the Lord and not off them. You see, so often the trials come, particularly the physical ones. The physical ones often take our eyes off God, and it goes on to man. And God is teaching us, in whatever trial we go through, whether it is physical, material, persecution, whatever it would be, we have to keep our eyes 24/7 on him, on his word. That is the design of it. That's how he's working it. He's working John 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added. That's how he's working it. Because we'll always rest on our laurels. We'll always be distracted or turn to other things and other means. And God knows that. That's why he has to sanctify us and separate us unto himself from the world. And we wrestle with that at times. So God is going to allow the Holy Spirit in you to witness, and he's never going to do it against or contrary to his will. You see, he cannot, because you'll get in the way otherwise if you want your will. And this is why we have to surrender to the will of God. And this is why we make much about your cross that you take up daily and follow the Lord. Because the cross that you take up surrenders your will to God. It stops you from wanting your own way. That is what a cross is for. A cross is to die on, the same as Jesus went to his cross. He died on that cross. But God never left him in that state. He raised him from the dead. That is the miraculous power of Almighty God. And so likewise, we spiritually, we take up our cross daily and follow the Lord. And we die to it. And that enables us to be able to then surrender to the sovereign will of God. This is why he will allow us to go through much trial and tribulation, of which to make it into the kingdom of God. This is why God is in this time now, we are experiencing the great falling away, the corruption, the wars and rumors of wars. It's all building up, and God is allowing it. He has taken the brakes off society, and it's heading for a massive collision. And people aimlessly go along, still believing that everything is going to be fine and hunky-dory, but it isn't. It's not going to be. And we know that God eventually will bring it to a halt when Jesus comes and his feet touch the Mount of Olives, and he will come with righteousness, establishing his kingdom, peace on the earth. You see, everyone is wanting peace, Governments are wanting peace. They're all fighting wars. But you see, it's the wrong sort of peace. It's a peace that's being established by politics, by the control of man. And this, of course, is why the Antichrist will come deceiving. And they will believe that he is the Messiah because he's politically wielded and worked a peace that other politicians can't do. That's why they will be deceived, because through all these wars and rumors of wars, all this turmoil and everything that is going on and what we hear in the news and so forth, people, governments, countries are becoming exhausted. They're getting tired. They can't cope with it. It's one crisis after another after another. Can you not see how God is allowing that to weaken the nations, to weaken the leaders, those in our governments? Everything is being weakened because society, the world at the moment, can't see any way out. Politicians have promised peace, prosperity, and it ain't happening. They're not delivering. Can you not see how it's all being set, the stage, the world? And so when this political leader, this religious leader comes on the world, the stage, and he comes on pretty quickly, because one of the big rumors that's going around is it's Mr. Trump who's the Antichrist. He doesn't fit in scripture. But he will come, and they will follow him in awe that he has such power to bring about such peace and false unity, not only politically, but religiously. We already see it in action. The spirit of this age is trying to do it, but human beings must have a leader. They've got to see someone. That's human nature. And of course, he will come at that right time, and God will allow it. And it will seem for a season as though he has got away with it. And then suddenly the end will start to come. God will intervene, and the supernatural vials, trumpets, will go forth, and what you will see on the earth that is released will be absolutely supernatural. They will not be natural things like earthquakes in that sense. This will be the finger of God intervening and judging, unlike the world has ever seen before. And thank God the overcomers, the wise virgins, will not be around when that takes place. You don't want to be left behind. Trust me. This is why we must bear and have the witness of the Spirit within our hearts. We must know what the Spirit is saying to the church. We must be able to discern the times and the seasons that we are living in. And all of this should, if you like, push us on, spur us on, that we're getting nearer and nearer. That's why the word says, look up, because your redemption draws nigh, because the next great event for the Christian church is the snatching away, or the rapture, as it's called. But not all will go up in that. Those wise virgins, those who have that extra oil, and the oil in their vessels. And we know that to be the oil of anointing, the oil of preparation. That is why the deeper life teaching that God revealed to me years and years back is the oil of preparation, preparing us. These teachings that we listen to are releasing you from relying upon man, the arm of the flesh. Because all of that eventually will have to take the mark of the beast. And it's no good being complacent. Oh, well, I'm not going to be around when the mark of the beast comes. Don't look at it like that. Each day is a day where I trust God more and stand upon his word by the grace and mercy of God. God knows we can't do it in the natural. God hasn't made a mistake in saving us. That took me a time to get that from my head to my heart because I had such a lot of unbelief in me. All I knew was trusting man and running every 5 minutes to the doctors and getting pills and drugs and you name what. And I thought, walk by faith, this is going to be a miracle. But I never doubted God because I've always seen God is big enough to do it. If he created the heavens and the earth, that's absolutely nothing to him. You need to look to the bigness of your Father who owns everything, who controls everything, holds the world by his word. What are we following? Who are we really worshipping? That's why we come into the presence of Almighty God. It's awesome. It's powerful. And Christians need a touch of that in their lives so that we begin to realize that God is in control of everything, our life, every second moment. He can get rid of me in the flick of a sixpence, as quick as that, if he wants to. And yet we act and go on as though we are in control and we know everything. We don't know anything unless the Holy Spirit reveals it. This is why I'm calling this teaching, the Spirit will witness to us. You see, those who don't rely and hear or witness to the Spirit often bargain with him. Well, I'll come to you if you give me the witness. I'll follow you if you heal me or you give me whatever I want. So many bargain with God and they don't realize the very fact that we can conceive that there is God is his grace and mercy. And that's why I keep saying the cross is essential with yielding, in obeying him. And when we do that, immediately we get this witness. And often that witness is himself in you, his nature, his love, his mercy, his grace. This witness reveals that I have a power working with me, helping me, sustaining me. I'm not on my own. That's the witness that you need as Christians. Too often you think you're on your own. But it's as we yield to the Spirit, then that witness comes. You see, if God lets you witness to the Spirit first before yielding and obeying, it will be of you. And it would just be of unbelief and emotions. And that's so much what you see. That's been a lot of your faith thinking it's faith. Because it's been emotions. I feel faith. And so on. This is why I've spoken much over the years about feelings and emotions. And it's not to say that we don't have them. We are emotional beings. And that is why we have to come so strong on that, because we are. We can get so confused thinking that is faith. It isn't. Faith is yielding, obeying. And it's very often what you don't want to do. God has a way of highlighting in our lives areas where he wants us to yield and obey him. In our flesh, we do not want to. That often is a big giveaway when God is highlighting and the flesh is reacting or your pride is reacting. God is saying you need healing, you need deliverance. You're not yielded over in that area. One of the finest things with us is the tongue, that deadly thing that likes to lash out and have its say. And God will do a lot of work with regard to our tongues, that little member that can do so much damage. It's yielding. It's when God says you don't say anything, you die to it. That is what you do. Because God will deal with it. We have to surrender our reasoning, our arguing, that lack of respect that we have for God or our elders or whatever it is. It's all a surrender to the will of God, so that the life of Christ ministers and works through us. Because as he ministers and works through us, there is the fruit of the Spirit for every situation. As I said so often, the fruit is in him, not us, in him. And as we yield to it, so then that long suffering is sustaining us, or that peace is sustaining us, or that joy is supporting, strengthening me. The joy of the Lord is a very important fruit. Wish to God more Christians have got it. And this is where our faith comes in, to believe for these things. So often it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't. When it doesn't make any sense to me, that's always a clear good sign God is in it. Because he's going to reveal and show something. Only God can transform perfect faith into reality. And he says just a mustard seed of faith, and he will turn it into reality. The witness. You see, God has left a witness. Many writers were moved by the Holy Spirit to write this revelation, the Bible. It wasn't just one man like Muhammad that wrote the Quran, just one man, those false revelations. No, God has left a witness through many writing. Take the four Gospels, all written by four different people, bearing witness. If you take a case to court, you will never enter that court unless you have evidence, witness. What would be the point? And the word of God is a witness to you. A witness, this is what my Father says to me. These are his promises. I can confess them, believe them, stand on them, wait and watch the promises coming to pass. So few teach this today. I can't find many at all who preach faith as the Bible presents it. It's always, if it be thy will. It is the will of God. And it's the witness that we get to our spirit. And that's why true faith will always put relationship first. Jesus first, because it's him. He's the one making the promises to you. It is a person living alive in you and me. And as I've said, the trials that we go through, they're wonderful to educate our faith, because it teaches us to witness, to discern, test the spirits, whether you know that is truth that is speaking or not. Demons can use the name of Jesus. We're told that they tremble, but they can use that name. Many false prophets and teachers use the name of Jesus, but you have to discern and test the spirit that is speaking behind all of this. The witness. Sometimes you have to shelve it for a while. You don't always get an immediate answer. But the point is that that witness must bear in our hearts to us. For he said that my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. You see. And it is alarming how many who profess Christ do not really have this witness, this discernment. They talk that they do, a lot of big talkers, but when you look into it and in depth, you realize that, no, they're not really seeing. So many jump on the bandwagon and they recite and hear what people say. So they think that because they hear these things, that gives them authority in which to say it also. But you can tell half the time they're only parroting what they've heard. It's not been witnessed to their hearts. It's not dropped that 18 inches from the head to the heart. There's no authority there. Many do that. Just reciting what they hear or what some teacher has said. And that's not to say that that's wrong, but the point is that we have to have a witness to these things. It witnesses to me personally. This is why you see the deeper life in the spirit witnesses to me, because it witnesses to my life and how I live. And what I go through, and the trials and the tests, it speaks to me on that. It encourages me with my trials and my tests. Not all teaching will encourage you in that. There's still this attitude that if you're going through trials and tests, well, maybe you're in sin. Or maybe you've committed the unpardonable sin or blasphemed the Holy Spirit or God is chastening you. That's often the attitude young Christians have with regard to trials or what a saint is going through. You say to me, well, that sounds a bit harsh. Well, read the book of Job. He went through it. None of them understood. They weren't much of a comfort at all. They could not see the bigger picture. And many Christians cannot see the bigger picture of what God's wanting to do and will do. It's always bigger than what you think, because God is. The trial that you're going through is far, far, far bigger than what you realize. There's so much more entailed. What God is going to do and how he's going to glorify his name through it. And you only get that when you start maturing and growing in the faith. You realize as you go on, I know as I go on in this walk, more and more I realize I can't grasp how great and vast my God and Father is. It just blows my mind. Didn't have that years back. But as you mature, you grow, you seek the kingdom of God, your vision becomes greater and bigger. That's always what happens by seeking the kingdom of God, is righteousness. Not seeking some denomination or seeking yourself and what you want. No. This is why such a vision is so limited and stunted in so many churches. They're just so wrapped up in themselves and their own works, religious works, having a clue what pertains to the kingdom of God. And yet they'll recite the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." The most profound words one speaks in prayer. And yet it's just rattled off each week in Sunday meetings. Little understanding of what they're reciting and saying. Why, we're still learning. And we will learn throughout eternity. That's the amazing thing about all of this. And that's why you see the Spirit will always witness to God's redemption. He'll never witness to your reason, your rationale. He'll never do it to you. He will always witness to redemption, which you cannot earn or buy. It is the grace and mercy of God. And the Spirit only witnesses to his own nature, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And this is why we walk by faith and not by sight. Let's look at a few scriptures before we close in this. Let's turn to John 16. John 16, verses 13, 14. John 16, verses 13 to 14, which you know very well. "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you." So what the Father gives to his Son, Jesus declares and gives it to us. That is mind-boggling, isn't it? What he's saying there. Look at the generosity and love of our Father for his Son, sharing his Son, all his knowledge and understanding. He's sharing with us. There is the witness to the Spirit, to the heart. What does it say in Acts 5:32? Acts chapter 5, get to that, and verse 32, where are we? Which says, "And we are his witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." So the apostles were witness to Christ's death and resurrection, the receiving of the baptism of the Spirit at Pentecost. They're going forth as witnesses. And the people knew that they were his disciples, had been with Jesus, the witness. And it's the same with us. The world will know that we are with Christ. They will pick it up. Demons will pick it up. Because it's the witness. And you can't counterfeit a witness. The evidence is there. The enemy tries to lie, deceive, but the evidence is loud and clear. And that is the point. And finally, let's look at Galatians. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6. Galatians 4 and verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Oh, sorry, I'm looking at Philippians. My apologies. Sorry. Galatians. Right, Galatians 6 and verse 4. Sorry about that. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. So there we are. And each one shall bear his own load. So it's speaking about here your experience walking with God. And he says also in verse 6 of Galatians 4, and because you are sons, God has sent forth his Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. So all of it is a bearing of witness. It is my witness. I know that it is true. And we bear it within us. This is why we examine ourselves. We examine our own work and what we do. It is good at times to examine. Is my work, what I'm doing for God, is it glorifying him? Is it bearing fruit? Does it witness to the Spirit? Wish to God more Christians would do this. And then there wouldn't be this utter confusion, and the enemy wouldn't get in so much, sowing his tares and heresy that we have today, which is getting worse and worse. I'm reminded of Job 13, verse 15. Job 13 and verse 15. Though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Even so, I will defend my own ways before him. So Job, because of his witness, he says, I will trust him. God is teaching him faith in his trials. He's learning to trust God. Even though he slay me, I will still trust him. Look, he's come to that place. He didn't have that when he first had his trials. In his trials, he's come to that place. I've surrendered. I've given up the lot. Doesn't matter. Even if he slays me, I'm still going to believe. Why? Because he's got the witness in his heart. And that is why we're to grow by faith, brothers and sisters, so that God can start delivering us from still trusting in man and the arm of the flesh, and that we can stand upon his word, his promises, because I witness to them. I know they are true, and God will not lie. He will not forget me. He will not leave me in this state. You see? All the great saints walked this way. We've preached much about Abraham, the father of faith. And look how he was waxing stronger and bolder as he walked with God in faith. This is why God says he will not allow us to be tried or tested above that which we're able to endure. So God knows each day as you walk that day by faith, he knows exactly just how far to allow you to go, and me, and no further, because that is the faith you have for that day. If the Lord tarries for next year or 4 years down the line, you will have the faith, a greater faith for that. Because faith is a fruit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And what does fruit do? Fruit matures and grows. That's its nature. So this is what he's doing, and he will always witness to our spirit. The spirit will witness to us. Hold on to that, because that witness is what keeps you walking daily with him and builds your confidence more and more each day. Praise God.